Psalm 12. We looked at some things about God's words last week, and we're going to look at the kind of a recap on what we went over. In Psalm 12, in verse 6, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, the silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." And we talked about the fact in Psalm 12, he's talking about man's words in the beginning. In verse 6, he starts talking about his words, and they're just different. God's words are perfect, they're pure, they're holy, they're right, they're good, and they're genuine, and man has trouble with his words. Amen. So he's showing a contrast here in the fact that, you know, man's words will fall to the ground, man's words will fade away, but God's words last forever. They endureth forever. God's words are not like man's words. And we had talked a little bit about John 14, 23, the fact that he tells us to keep God's words. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Right there in that verse. So if we're going to keep God's words, we have to have God's words. Amen? He doesn't say if a man loves me, he'll keep my ideas or my principles. He says my words. So we have to have God's words. And Jesus Christ himself in John 5:39 says, "Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So if we're going to search the scriptures, we have to have God's words, and God's words, to have God's words, need to be inspired. Because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, if he tells us to search the scriptures, and he didn't inspire a translation, we're in trouble. Then we can't search the scriptures, because scriptures are inspired. But since he gave us his words and he gave us his scriptures in the King James Bible, we can search the scriptures because we have the inspired, preserved King James Bible. Praise the Lord for that. So if we're commanded to search the scriptures, we're commanded to keep his words, we have to have them. That'd be silly. What kind of a God would say, "Keep my words, but I'm not giving them to you"? What kind of a God would say, "Search the scriptures, but you don't have any"? Knowing us in 2020, what kind of a God would say you have to dig through some old manuscripts that don't even exist anymore? Amen. Good luck finding the best copies you can and then trying to translate that on your own. Amen. And we talked about the fact that, you know, a lot of preachers will say, "Well, we believe the book is preserved, it's perfect, but it's not inspired." But yet God inspires them, allegedly, every Sunday and every Wednesday to give a message or a Bible study. They're missing something, amen? They're missing something about the importance of God's words. God's words are more important than a preacher's words. And without God's words, a preacher's not even preaching. He's not proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ without God's words. Look at Isaiah 48 for just a minute here. In Isaiah 48... if you haven't read through Isaiah lately, boy, that's a good book to look at. You talk about some people messing up. The Jews were Baptists, didn't even know it, amen? Isaiah 48, verse 5, it says, "I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I shewed it thee. Lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image, and my molten image hath commanded them." So this is, he's talking about giving them his words from the beginning, and he's proclaiming something from the beginning. And the importance of this verse is, what does God's words do? I mean, God's words, according to Isaiah 48:5, they glorify him as God, and they expose false gods. Amen? So which one of their idols, which one of their man-made gods told them, predicted the future for them? Which one of their idols, which one of their man-made gods created them? How could you create something, bow down and worship it, and call it your creator? Yep, so God said, "I'm giving you my words, and I'm telling you what's going to happen, so when it happens, you'll be giving me the glory for it, instead of trying to glorify the works of your own hands." Amen? And he tells us how to get saved in the Bible. When we get saved, we don't go around beating on our chest saying, "Boy, I'm good enough, I got saved." We go, "Hey, you know what? I was wicked on my way to hell, and God gave me his words, and I know he did it because I wasn't good enough to do it." Amen? Amen? And I got saved because of Jesus Christ. He saved me. got saved by God's Word, Jesus Christ, amen? So God's words are very, 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 very important. They're the most important thing there is for a Christian. We talked about, you know, what you need God's words for. To love God, to fellowship with God, to know you're saved, to be eternally, to be secure in your salvation, and for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, and for steadiness, to be steadfast in truth, to be consistent. We need God's words. God's words are our compass, our individual compass. Amen? They're our compass for our individual lives. They're our compass for our marriages. They're a compass for our families. They're a compass for our church. And they're a compass for our county, for our city, for our state. They're a compass for our country. And that's the reason the country's going off the tracks. They've put the compass down and said, we'll do it on our own. I'm a man. I don't like some robot woman telling me in the car where to turn, especially when she's wrong more than I am. Amen? But my wife's like, let me just ask the phone. And I'm like, we got this. Let's do it old school. And 20 minutes later, I'm like, all right, ask the phone. But we need a compass. We do. And God gave us His words to be our compass. And it tells us where true north is. Amen. Jesus Christ is our true north. This book is our true north. This book is it. And I will go as far to ridicule preachers and pastors that deny the Word of God, because they should know better. If they're preaching the Word of God, they should check it out and find out. But I feel sorry for people that have been bamboozled and lied to, and they don't know, they're confused. And they don't read their Bible because they don't have a Bible, and they've got a book that may or may not be God's words. I wouldn't read it either. Amen. If you told me this book was full of mistakes, but it's the best we have, I wouldn't read it. I'll be honest with you, I know it's perfect, and it's hard for me to read it sometimes. Amen. It's hard for us to read it because we've got this flesh and this carnal nature. But if it wasn't God's words, why fool with it? You know, I'd just read the newspaper and watch CNN and be depressed all the time. Amen. But this is God's words. We have it. I want to talk a little bit about helping folks see the truth. Lost folks and saved folks. Now, saved folks, let's turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So, we had mentioned this last week. The vast majority of Christians that do not have a Bible, that do not understand there is a Bible, never went to a bookstore and said, give me a perversion. Give me the wrong book. Give me something that's not perfect. They never did that. A lot of them, through no fault of their own, walked in with no idea of what they were doing and said, I need a Bible. And most generally, it's some teenager, a young lady, some effeminate kid that's supposed to be a male that's selling pink Bibles to people and all this junk, you know. And they say, well, this is the one that's going this week. This is our big seller this week. Or it's usually one or two things. I've been in there and they said, what can I help you with? I'm looking for a Bible. Well, when I'm looking for a Bible, I'm looking for a Scofield reference or something like that. I'm not looking for an NIV or an RSV. Good night. You can find them in the trash can all over the place probably. But I said, well, I'm looking for a Bible. Oh, well, what version do you like? I'm like, well, I like the King James myself. But I like God's Word. Or they'll say, well, I'll tell you what, we just had one, a new one. You know, the new Hollywood pink britches rainbow Bible or whatever they've got coming out next. You know, we got this one. And then they're trying to sell you that. They don't know the difference because they've been lied to. So we've got churches all over the country that are full of people that have books that are not God's words. But they don't know any better. And we could, I know it's hard to believe, but we could actually be a blessing and a help to people if we wanted to. Amen. Because our tendency is to say, ah, you're just an idiot. How could you be using that NIV? Well, how about this? How come we have the right book, we believe the book, and we don't read it enough? So who's the idiot? The one that's been tricked that doesn't know any better? Or the one that has God's Word? I mean, honestly, we could be a blessing to them by saying, you know what, in the spirit of meekness, I want to help this person. Something interesting about this verse, though, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, now look, it says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. So, logic would dictate we're not always spiritual. So if we're not always spiritual, sometimes better keep our mouth shut. If you're being carnal one day and having a really bad day or a bad week and you're not in the will of God and you're going to confront somebody about this, maybe you ought to pray about it and pray for them and then talk to them later. Amen? Because I think Bible-believing Christians spend more time lopping ears off than they do trying to get people help. I really do. And I don't even think we do it on purpose sometimes. I think it's just the mode of operation, the MO of our crowd sometimes. Because we just assume that, well, that you're wicked because you have an NIV. Well, they probably are because they're not getting any help from it, but they didn't go to the bookstore and said, give me the worst version of, you know, what you call a Bible. They didn't do that. And I think if we would try to approach it more spiritually, minded, you know, first of all, the Bible says we're supposed to esteem others better than self, higher than self, so we're supposed to assume that if they're doing something wrong, they're probably not doing it on purpose. Maybe they don't know. Give them the benefit of the doubt, try to help them out. You know, we went over all these verses last week. We're going over again tonight about, you know, God's words are not like man's words, like a, you know, purified seven times. All these verses we know, and it would probably do us some good to say, well, you know what, if maybe you can get a dialogue going with somebody about their Bible, quote-unquote Bible, about the Bible, and say, well, you know, the thing is, you know, one idea, something I was thinking about earlier today is, if you ask them, are you saved? I say, yeah. Did Jesus Christ save you? Yeah. Is he a perfect Savior? Absolutely. Is he the Word of God? Well, yeah, he's the Word of God. Now, if Jesus Christ is a perfect Savior, and we're supposed to try to know him, don't you think God would give us a perfect Bible to get to know him? They may not agree and throw their Bible, their version away right now, but they're going to have to think about it. I mean, really, we need to have a dialogue about this and not just chop their ear off or chop their head off. But, you know, when we get into the Scriptures, well, do you believe that the NIV or the RSV or the NASB is inspired? Well, no, because we don't really have God's words anymore. You might hear that. Or, well, the originals were. Okay, but we don't have any of the originals. Period. And the originals never existed all together in the same place at the same time. Never. They never did. There were copies with some newer originals, but there never were the originals all together at one place. Never. Except in God. Amen? So they never were. But this is all together in one place. So, I mean, if you don't believe we have Scriptures, then the Bible says we're supposed to search the Scriptures. How do you search the Scriptures if you don't have them? That's reasoning. Come, let us reason together. Amen? And guess what? It'll build your faith while you're talking. You know, God says to keep his words. How are we going to keep his words if we don't have his words? Another thing, I've asked people this, and it boggles my mind. I don't understand how people could think like this, but I always ask them, or a lot of times I'll ask them, look, if you're telling me you don't believe there's a perfect word of God, and I'm telling you this is it, why not err on the side of caution? If it doesn't matter, they're all the same. Why not use the one I'm telling you is the right one, just in case? even if you don't believe it, why not be safe and try to be as safe as you can and say, all right. Doesn't that make sense? It makes sense to me. I mean, none of the other translators, none of the other translating committees, nobody has ever held up an NIV and said, this is the Word of God. Nobody will ever do that. They'll never hold up the NASB or the RSV or any of those six gazillion, I don't know. They're probably up 500 by now. I don't know. Different English, supposedly, Bibles. But nobody's ever held one up and said, this is the Word of God. They always say, well, this is a fairly accurate translation, or it's easier to understand translation. Than it's the same as your King James Bible, it's just easier to understand. That's a good one. That's a big one. 99% of the people that are using an NIV that are Baptist, they believe they've got the same book as you. They've changed the these and the thous. They don't know any different. But you can take them to the book of Daniel and show them that the Son of God didn't walk through the fire in the NIV. A son of the gods did. That doesn't even make sense. Why would he even say son? If he was just guessing who it was, he said, wow, one of the gods is walking through the fire. Why would he say a son of the gods? He wouldn't. And he didn't. He said the Son of God. And the Son of God's in that fire with him. Amen. And if it's a son of the gods, you're in trouble in that fire. But if it's the Son of God, no problem. So they just think, because they haven't really thought it through, that it doesn't matter. But when you show them a few things out of the King James Bible, it makes sense. It just makes more sense. Even if they don't jump right on board and go, wow, I believe that's the perfect Word of God, they're going to go, wow, I need to get rid of my Bible. Because I had no idea it was called the devil, the angel of light. I had no idea that it said a son of the gods, and I never had no idea. I had no idea it says the exact opposite here, the exact opposite there. They don't have any idea. And, you know, they're trusting, and they should be able to. They should be able to trust their pastor to say, this is the Word of God, and I'm going to do my best to give you the words of God. They should be able to trust their pastor. And when the pastor says, we don't have the words of God anymore, but we've got good translations, they're doing the best they can and trusting the guy they're supposed to be able to trust. And look, I'm not about stealing people out of churches by giving them the truth. I want to give them the truth so they can glorify Jesus Christ. And so they can do better. Look, I struggle having the right Bible. I couldn't imagine if I was trusting an NIV every day. Amen? But helping people out, helping save people see that there is a difference. And we do have the words of God, and we do have Scripture. If we don't, we're in trouble. And then the law, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm not having quite as much fun as I did last Wednesday, but it the night's early. Amen. But 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. You all are in 2 Corinthians. I went to 1 Corinthians. Just checking me out here. Verse 1 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, when we're dealing with a lost crowd, totally different situation than dealing with saved people that don't have a Bible. We're dealing with people that don't even believe that God's words existed ever, most of the time. They don't even believe there is a God a lot of times. I know they know it in their heart, but they've reasoned it away in their mind because they've been uneducated. And they've been brain dirty, brain filth. Brainwashing is what you get in church. Brainwashing is what you get when you read your Bible, amen? They've been taught a lie and deceived by the devil. So, you can't blame them. When you were lost, you thought like a lost person. And you went with every wind of whatever. When you get saved, God starts anchoring you to this book and anchoring you to this book and anchoring you to this book. And the more you read it, and the more you pray, and the more you study, and the more you meditate on the Word of God, the more you realize you need it and how real it is. And this book testifies of itself. It's a powerful book, the most powerful book from an awesome God, the awesome God, amen? So these people don't understand a lot of times. Lost folks are doing what lost folks do, and they're thinking the way lost folks think. And a lot of times you'll get the question is there even a Word of God? Or is there God's Word anywhere? Well, we believe in a higher power. You get that a lot. Oh, I believe there's a higher power, definitely a higher power. Well, that's a good place to start. That's better than monkeys, amen? Starting at monkeys is a really crazy place to start. But, oh, I believe absolutely there's a higher power. And we don't know if he or she is the God of this or the God of that, or, you know, they'll get into some stuff like that. Well, that's fine. At least they're believing that there's something out there that is over them. That's a good place to start. There's something out there that's over me. There has to be. And how do we talk to them about it? Well, I mean, you can get in the Bible prophecy and show them some Bible prophecy. We're not going to get into specific details on prophecy or any of this stuff tonight. But get into Bible prophecy and how it is impossible for this book to have been written by men because of all the prophecy that's already come true. And the vast majority of the prophecy in this book has already come true. We're just waiting for a few more things, amen? One of them is Jesus Christ to call us out of here anytime. And then there's archaeological evidence. And the archaeological evidence, the funny thing about the strongest archaeological evidence we have is because the archaeologists made fun of the Bible and said these things never happened, never existed, and then later they found them. God made monkeys out of the scientists, amen? And then we have scientific evidence that lines up with the Scripture. It's just science that lines up with Scripture. It's not evidence the Bible's true. The Bible's true. It doesn't need any help. But the evidence lines up with the Bible. And there's tons of scientific evidence that lines up with the Bible. That's good science. That's not what he's talking about when he says science falsely so-called. You get into monkey men and Big Bang theories and all this, that's what he's talking about, science falsely so-called. But Bible prophecy and the accuracy of the Bible is 100%. Archaeological evidence, scientific evidence, historical accuracy. And the book's accurate. That goes hand in hand with the archaeological evidence because, you know, for a long time they made fun of you for believing in Nineveh and, you know, all this other stuff. And, you know, Nineveh never existed. Then they dig Nineveh up. Some of the same people that were taught to think, to slam God and his word because Nineveh didn't exist, they dug Nineveh up. And then they have to, well, you know, somebody must have just known Nineveh was there and wrote it in the Bible. Well, yeah, somebody knew Nineveh was there. It was God. Amen. So historical accuracy. Another reason is take them back to creation. I mean, creation's a good place to go because we've talked about this before, but it's good to reason with people. I was talking to a fella, Josh was almost 16. He'll be 16 in a few weeks, and he's ate up with cars right now. And as expensive as cars are, he might be better off than chasing girls. So so the car, he's ate up with these cars. We're driving around. He goes, oh, Nissan dealer, let's drive through there. And I'm like, a Nissan dealer? I'm an American. Let's look for a Camaro or something. But, you know, these younger kids are into these little bumblebees running around. You know, that, boy, that sounds neat. No, it doesn't. It sounds like a sewing machine gone haywire. So we go into the Nissan dealer, and I'm hiding, you know. I'm in a Nissan dealer. So we go in there, and we're driving around. He said, well, they don't have any of the expensive cars. So a dealer's standing out there, one of the new car dealers standing out there, on the salesman, and he says, can I help you all? And I said, well, he's looking for one of them $100-some-thousand Nissans. Oh, yeah, and he names two or three of them. He said, we don't have any of those here. He said, but every once in a while we get one in. I said, well, how about a good dependable one for like $500? You got any of those? He said, no, we don't right now. So we get to talking, and I don't even know how we started talking. The Lord just does this every once in a while. I went to hand him a track, invite him to church, told him, you know. Oh, I told him who I was. He told me his name, shook my hand, told him who I was, told him about Gateway Baptist, gave him a track. And I said, you know where you're going when you leave. He said, oh, well, he said, when you leave this world, I'm not sure. My family's Christians, they're religious anyway. He said, I said, oh, okay. And I said, well, you don't believe it comes from monkeys, do you? He said, well, there are a lot of different ideas out there. And I said, yeah. I said, but you don't really believe it comes from monkeys, do you? Because then why are the other monkeys still monkeys? I said, so basically, you have to believe one of three things. And really, I'm waiting for somebody to give me the fourth thing that makes sense, or could make sense. Really, the two of the three don't make sense, but you have to believe that everything always existed. Everything come from nothing, or God did it. And there really are some people out there that believe we don't even exist, we just think we do. How in the world? I don't understand it. I'm glad they didn't have those drugs in my neighborhood when I was growing up. That's all I can say. But then they have to think about that, and he's like, well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Well, it makes a lot of sense. Because your God is either everything that always existed, or nothing that turned into everything, or the God of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And they all take faith. It really takes less faith to believe God did it than it does to believe everything did it on its own, or nothing turned into everything. That takes a lot more faith than believing God did it. And then I usually ask them, you know, why is it hard to believe that God always existed, but not that everything always existed, or nothing turned into everything? Those three things all take faith, and only one of them really makes sense. Let us reason together. I think it's a good place to start. I really do. When you're dealing with people that, well, I don't know. I think it's a good place to start. And take them to Genesis 1:1. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's a lot easier to believe. And that, when you read that, if you live to be 100 and you read that, it'll still say the same thing. Now, science is going to believe something different in 4 hours. Amen? The evolution theory has evolved into some crazy stuff. Some crazier all the time. And it does evolve. Survival of the fittest. The fittest joke that they can come up with will survive the longest. And then when that one dies, they come up with something else. And something else, and something else. But the truth is, man, especially educated man, wants nothing to do with authority. I am somebody. I'm going to tell you, there's something that happens to a person when they walk across that stage and they get a piece of paper handed from another man, and people clap. There's something that happens to a person. A lot of people, if they're not grounded in this book and they're not saved, there's some strange stuff happens to people. And from that point on, it's really hard for them to go, well, maybe I'm not as good as I thought. Because everybody always told me I was. They told me that when I graduated kindergarten. They told me that when I made it through sixth grade. They told me that when I made it through high school. And they told me that when I got my PhD and my all this other stuff. So it's really hard for them to go, well, there is an authority that I have to answer to. So a lot of folks out there are just vacuumed into these educated people's lies through the educational system. And they never have stopped and thought about it. So what's wrong with you and I going, hey, what about this? Got to really be one of three things. And I believe God did it. Now, it's really hard for them to look at you and say you're nuts when you just told them about the three things that they might believe. Amen? I even asked the kid over there, I said, show me a Petri dish with nothing in it that turns into something. You can't do it. It's not science, it's a religion. It really is religion. To believe anything other than God did it is nothing but pure religion. Or not pure religion, impure religion, amen? It's nothing but religion. It takes a great deal of faith. A lot of these folks will say, well, we know it's not this now, I know it's not that now, we know it's not the Big Bang, we don't believe necessarily that, but they have enough faith in themselves and in man that they eventually we're going to get the answer, we just know it's not God. And hundreds of years of that thought process, and it still hasn't changed. Eventually, we're going to get the answer. And we're going to be able to prove that your God doesn't exist. Well, the unfortunate part of that is, if we don't deal with it the right way, prayerfully, in meekness, now there's a time just to slam the door. I mean, there is. There absolutely is. There's nothing wrong with not getting bulldozed over by some bully in front of a bunch of other people that are probably lost on their way to hell too. But in meekness, trying to help somebody out, if we don't go to them, they're going to realize that our God's real when they're standing there getting ready to be cast into a lake of fire forever. Amen? And then God's going to go, you know what? You had an opportunity to try to reason with them, and instead you just whacked their head off. Amen? Too much is given, much is required. He's given us much. And for us, and it is hard. Being a human, being a man is tough. I don't know about you ladies. It's got to be tough being a lady. You could have put up with us, but being a man is tough because sometimes you just want to punch somebody. Sometimes you just want to tell them off. Sometimes you just want to give them a piece of your mind. When you get older, you realize you're running out of pieces and you got to quit doing that. Amen? But God himself was able to humble himself and willing, not able. He's able to do anything he wants to do except lie and cross his word. But he was willing to humble himself and put up with us. So we should be able to take a little bit of we might feel like is abuse from the outside and go, you know what? I'm a fool for believing that, but let me tell you what I think. It's got to be one of these three things. Amen? I think it'd do us well. I think we'd see a lot of people, a lot more fruit, if we would deal with things more spiritually and less carnally. And you're talking to a guy here that every once in a while, when they point that wrong finger, I want to rip it off. I understand. I know exactly what it's like to be a man. I've been trying to do this thing right for a long time, and every once in a while you get that. But every once in a while you let God lead and see something miraculous happen and realize that you've really wasted a lot of opportunities. It could have been a lot better, went a lot better. But I think dealing with the saved and dealing with the lost both require meekness. They both require reasoning. And there are a lot of saved folks out there that are in King James Bible believing churches now that started out in the wrong churches with the wrong book, believing the wrong things, following the wrong Jesus, with the wrong relationship, with the wrong God even, because somebody cared enough to say, hey, it's not about me, it's about you and Jesus Christ, and I want you to have a relationship with him, the right one. Amen? So we don't have to beat them up. We don't get to sometimes when we want to. But no, seriously, it's just dealing with people and the Word of God. And the Word of God's important. It's worth the effort to try to reach people, saved and lost, on the importance of this book. Amen? It really is. And I think if we all get our heart right on that, even though we struggle, I think we're going to see a lot more fruit. And I think the Lord's going to be a lot happier with us if we will try to love people the way he loves them and understand where they're coming from and remember where we were coming from at one time. I wasn't born believing the King James Bible was the Word of God on my way to heaven. There were a lot of steps and a lot of missteps between birth and the second birth and having a book that I know is the right book. Amen? And some people were really merciful and gracious to me over the years. Amen? So praise the Lord. God's words are not only important, if you're saved, it's the most important thing you have, is God's Word. Amen? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Let's take some prayer requests.